Okay, I want to move on. I do want to introduce one other thought about wealth and either the lack thereof or the abundance of it keeping you from getting into heaven, where we finished on the last talk. And there's a story where the rich man dies, and it says that, and I don't remember which chapter it's in, but the rich man and Lazarus, if you Google that, you'll be able to find where it's at. But basically, the litany goes like this: the rich man lived good all his life. He had a purple robe and he lived sumptuously. And Lazarus was brought and laid at the gate with sores on his body, who sat there to beg for money. When they both died, one went to hell, or to Hades, which is where the rich man went, and then Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. So if you read it, because it's no explanation of why the rich man went to hell or Hades, and there's no explanation of why Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, which today for us, now that Jesus has paid the ultimate price, would be heaven versus hell. Here's the deal. The explanation is in Mark chapter 10. It's in the other passage in Matthew where he deals with the same issue about the rich young ruler. There's at least two accounts of it. I don't know if it's in every gospel or not, but I know it's in Mark and Matthew. It's the trust factor. It's your heart. It's your relationship. The New Testament, Paul says somewhere in one of his writings that you have to work out your own salvation. So this is a walk daily with your dreams, your gifts, your talents, your destiny and calling and purpose that God put inside of you before you were born. We hit that, several talks ago. But I want you to read this chapter, because people say, well, look, if you're poor, you're going to go to heaven, or in Abraham's bosom. And if you're rich, you're going to go to hell. I mean, this is just pretty evident there, and don't give you a reason why either one of them went to the other place, other than one was called rich and one was called, poor, laid at the gate with sores on his body. Here's the deal. If that's true, now I want you to think about it. If that's the reason, the only reason, that they ended up in their different respective places, then why is Abraham in a place of rest? Because notice that Lazarus was sent to Abraham's bosom. Abraham was the wealthiest man of his time and had wealth to establish nations. And I would dare say he was probably the wealthiest man on earth, with the exception of Solomon. So if Abraham ended up in heaven, then it couldn't have been the riches that either got him there or kept him out, or he would have ended up in the same place as the rich person. But you have to realize, the rich person lived a lifestyle of sumptuousness, and maybe that person's heart was lifted up and he didn't care for the poor, which the Word of God tells us to do. He didn't sow into others. I don't know the reason, because it's not evident in that chapter. You cannot find an explanation of why one ended up in hell and the other one ended up in the bosom of Abraham. But if it's because of the wealth, then Abraham himself couldn't be Abraham there, because he was the wealthiest man of all the nations of his time. So therefore, he was made the head, not the tail. So therefore, that can't be the narrative. And that's why I go back to Mark chapter 10, and it's about the trust factor, the heart issue, and your ability to handle what comes into your life, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So I just wanted to throw that one in there, kind of, because I didn't get it on the last talk, because we're going to enter into a different thought here. I'm assuming now I have buy-in from you that it's okay to be a son and daughter of Abraham, and then what that means for you wealth-wise would be between you and the Father. I'm not preaching that you're going to have millions of dollars, and I'm not saying you're going to be poor, because I don't believe poor is the right answer. But you might not have millions of dollars either, but you will have wealth sufficient for your dreams, your destiny, your purpose, your calling that God put inside of you. I can tell you that, and I believe that with all my heart, according to Jesus saying, when he came to give life, and life more abundantly now for me. That includes both, and eternal life and then life now. So assuming you're with me, I want to talk a little bit about inheriting the promises. Because then people's next question is, okay, I believe we should have the wealth for nations. I believe we should have whatever we can handle to help disciple nations. I'm in. Okay, so how do I get it? Great question. I want to start with Mark chapter 11, and it's verse 24. And the word there says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you will have them. I want you to understand that Mark that the Lord himself is teaching his disciples and us as well, that all prayer should start from desire. And I believe desire is part of the makeup inside of you in that destiny piece, in the substance the Father put in there in Psalms 139. Go back to that. And it's almost like a blueprint of a puzzle, if you will. If you ever got a jigsaw puzzle, it shows the picture of it on the box, but it comes in pieces. And you have to put it together to replicate the blueprint on the outside of the box. I believe that when you're given substance from the Father, that your gifts and talents and your dreams and abilities to cause those to come to pass, your calling and purpose are all in that substance. And out of that substance and you unpacking it, you find desire. And that's why you pray, because that desire starts bubbling up on the inside, or that dream, if you will. And the Word of God says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So as these desires that are innate to you start coming up in you, as you grow in the things of the Lord and your own occupation, whatever that is, then these desires will bubble up, and then you have to take them one by one and analyze them against the kingdom values and see if they're okay. And also, do they really fit your gift mix and your heart and what you really believe? And if they do, then I would say the light's green to pursue them. That'll be something you'll have to pray about and seek the Lord about in each individual thing that comes up. But the point I'm trying to get at is that whatsoever things you desire, okay, so desire actually comes up inside of you. And I want you to get that in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18, says that when desire comes, it's like the tree of life, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. So what I want you to get is that God wants us to be hopeful. He wants us to be full of biblical hope. And in the Word of God says, desire realized, in other words, experience, tasted, lived in, your dream came to pass, is like the tree of life. Hey, it don't get much better than that, does it? The tree of life is where the eternal fruit is, that if you eat fruit from the tree of life, you live forever. That's a pretty good deal, okay? And so what I believe personally is that once we're born again, that the tree of life, it might exist physically in the Garden of Eden somewhere, but I believe the tree of life comes in us, because the tree of life is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they come and make their abode inside of us. And when that happens, I believe that you have the tree of eternal life as you're a born-again spirit inside of you, that you have eternity already resting inside of you, immortality, if you will, from the Father, because he's in there. Okay, so notice, though, that both passages link desire. Mark is linking desire to answered prayer. Whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay. In Proverbs, it says desire realize. So the thing you're going after, when you realize it, it is like the tree of life. If you don't realize it, it makes you sick, because hope deferred makes your heart sick. I want you to get that this is why people get depressed. This is why people come under a heaviness and feel like life isn't worth living, because they're not moving forward. They're not getting the things that they feel like they should. I don't know what's causing you not to make that connection, but I will say this. If you deal with your identity piece, which we started off in the beginning, and you meditate on these scriptures, and you go back through and you listen to this, and you read for yourself, you study for yourself, you ask the Lord for yourself, because I'm not your guru. I'm just someone that's a messenger brought to report the news. It's the Holy Spirit's job and your job to read and study and let him make it alive to you, not mine. I'm just a reporter. So you have to take it and put it in your heart, so the issues will come out of your heart. But what I am saying is, those desires that God put inside of you based on Psalms 139, based on Proverbs 18, and then also Mark chapter 11, he innately wants us to have answers for life. He wants us to have answers for the life he planned on us living. Remember in Psalms, it says, I fashioned all your days for you before you were born, before there were any of them. That's incredible to me, because that means that he has created me as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and he has formed a set of works for me, and a life for me that's already laid out. The days are already fashioned, made for me before I ever get here. And they're good. They're not bad. And I realize we have bad things happen, but I'm saying God's intent is for it to be good. His intent is he cares more about us than we care about ourselves. And he cares more about the things that we care about than we care about him as well, because he's a good father. And so what I want you to get is as the desires well up and you follow this path, they open up to you and you go after them. It's almost like a blueprint. And I'm going to hit that a little bit. I don't know how far we'll get in this particular one, but I want to give you the essence of answered prayer, desire, God wanting, you know, it's in John chapter 14, it's in John chapter 16, it's in John chapter 17, I think it's 14, about halfway through chapter 14, it says, you know, whatever you desire, not whatever you desire when you pray, it says, ask the Father anything in my name and he will give it to you. That's what it says in John 14. And it says something similar to that in John 16. The point is that he is just, it says that the Father is glorified when you get answered prayer. That's what it says. It's like when you ask the Father anything in my name, therefore the Father is glorified. He's glorified by you getting answers to your prayers. Hello. And for some reason, we think we have to talk God into the things that we feel like inside of us that we are built for. Dude, he put them there before you were born. So he knew about them way before you ask about them. The desires that you're uncovering now were there in your heart while you were yet unformed in your mother's womb. And see, this is what I'm trying to get at, because when we reach for something outside of us to fix us, okay? Now, I'm not saying, you know, like if you need medication, that's fine, do it. I'm talking about continually we reach for some sort of fantasy life out here to make us feel good about us. It never will. Because that thing you're reaching for, even if you get it, will be fleeting. And Proverbs talks about that the uncertain riches make themselves wings and fly away to heaven. You don't want that kind. You want the kind that comes from the blessing of the Lord, which makes you rich and adds no sorrow with it. So what I'm getting at is that you steal those desires inside of you. You have to cultivate your dreams with the Father. I love the book. I recommended it early, Dreaming with God. It's this place where you dream with him, where you come before him in prayer, where you come before him in your communication with him, and you start talking about these things inside of you that you feel like you're built for, that burn inside of you. How do I walk this out, Father? How do I follow you, Holy Spirit, to see the glory that the Father is going to get when this is answered, when this desire comes to pass? See, this is part of the wealth of message that most people never hit because, number one, they don't believe it. I'm hoping you're not wrestling with whether you should have wealth or not. You should, okay? How much of it is dependent upon you and your relationship with the Father and what you're called to do. I'm not going to get into amounts, but it should be more than enough, okay? You should have abundance, which is more than you need, okay? I believe that 100%, but that's different numbers for everybody. What I'm getting at here, though, is that he is interested in walking life out with you as a son and a daughter to actually bring forth the desires that he actually put inside of you before you were born, but yet they're your desires too. So it's like it's almost like you get to eat your cake. You get your cake and you get to eat it too because these desires innately bubble up inside of you and you have a passion and a burn and a desire for them, but yet he put them in there and hid them. So you have to dig them out so that you can dream with him and go after the thing that you were built for. I mean, this is just so, to me, now in my life, it's so elementary. But we don't talk about it practically enough. So we're really starting the talk on how do I get the inheritance? That's really the question, right? Okay, I believe you. I believe we should have wealth. I believe we ought to be the sons and daughters of God and Abraham. Now, how do I inherit that? Well, the first step is to believe the blueprint is already inside of you. And that blueprint has desires with it, dreams, callings. And that as you walk your life out and they bubble up and you burn for things, you communicate with the Father and follow the Holy Spirit into those things, and then they're revealed, they're answered, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. believe that you're saved, and they start coming to pass in your life. And then the Word of God says they're like a tree of life. You know, I heard someone say that when you experience answered prayer and the glory comes on you from that, because the Father's glorified with you getting an answer to prayer, that you actually give people a chance to taste eternal life through the answers you carry that you've gotten yourself from God. That's such an awesome thought if you think about it. It's an awesome thought that you can have your prayers answered. That you can walk in these things. That you can become. That whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you believe you receive them. That God Himself wants to walk with you and bring these things to pass that are in your own heart. And it's like, dude, when you ever get that, you won't be quabbling about answered prayer. You'll be quabbling. You will be looking for the highlights of the Lord. You'll be looking for those pieces of destiny that are in the blueprint that you already have inside of you. And as you find those pieces of the blueprint and you start pressing in. See, the way I do life now with the Father is I don't even ask for things until I see a highlight inside of me. I see a shift or I feel something. And sometimes the shifts are painful. Sometimes I don't feel comfortable making some of these shifts. But I'm just saying, until something shifts or until I see a highlight or until I feel some direction, I don't really pray about things unless there's immediate needs that come up that I have to pray about. I wait until the highlight shows up and then I follow the highlight, because to me, that's the direction the Holy Spirit's going in. And He wants to bring this to pass. And when you ever get this, that you actually can cause the tree of life can burst forth through you in branches, when you've realized your own dreams and your own desires, and off of those tree of life, people can taste eternity through you. This is the powerfulness about it. If desire is realized is like the tree of life, guess what happens when it bursts forth from you? The answered prayers that you received and destiny you're now living in can give people hope off of the fruit of the tree of life that's busted forth through you, that they can eat of and taste eternity. This is where Paul says we are epistles read and learned of men. That means you're a book for people to read openly. To me, that is the glory. That you know, there was a, I think the first century saint says, the glory of God is man fully alive. See, I believe that with all my heart, because when you start becoming fully alive and the passions and the answered prayers and the desires, part of that blueprint starts popping through you, those branches off the tree of life, and they offer fruit to the world around you, which is answers. Answers are always the fruit from the kingdom. And they eat of that. They can taste eternity through your desire being realized. Oh man, this is just wonderful, isn't it? Because this is how you bring people into the kingdom. This is how you disciple nations, by actually having fruit and answers for people's issues, and they can eat of it and they taste of a fruit from a different world, from the Father. So we're going to end this one here, because I want to keep drilling down on how to walk out and receive the promises. This is the first step in the blueprint. The blueprint, we will keep expanding on it. This is the first portion of how to walk it out, that you have to just follow the highlights, learn to follow that which is bubbling up on the inside of you, and your communication with the Father and following the Holy Spirit afterwards and putting the Word in you so you can walk it out with Him. He's interested in walking it out with you. And that's what I wanted to hit. So we're going to end here. You ought to be excited that you're able to carry the tree of life on the inside of you, and that fruit can cause other people to taste eternity by you getting dreams, desires, and destiny fulfilled. That ought to be exciting. So I'll see you on the other side soon.